This is Pastor Randall Floyd from Clayton Assembly of God in Clayton, New Mexico. It is my privilege and my pleasure each week at this time to bring you the message that was delivered the previous Sunday from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. I hope you will take the time to join in and listen to what God has been saying to the congregation here, because I believe the message really has a much wider and broader appeal than just this church family. Grab your Bible if you can. Sit back and enjoy God's Word today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Clayton Assembly of God, you can go to our website at www.claytonag.org. While you're there on the website, if you feel led to do so and you'd like to help support the ministry of Clayton Assembly of God, you can click on the donate button, or you can click on the contact page and find the address to simply mail your donation to us. Sit back and enjoy God's Word from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. It was probably at least 2 years ago, maybe longer, I haven't kept real close track of it, that the Lord began to deal with me and said, I want you to start referring to this church as the church for the rest of us. It's on banners inside the church. It's on our banners outside the church. It's on our website. It's on our Facebook page. It's on letterhead that I send out to the church. It's everywhere. And I've had people say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? And I've tried to explain it. And I will tell you that I know that during all this time, my explanations have been lacking. Have you ever had an idea or a concept that you had it, you knew it up here in your mind, but you just couldn't quite articulate it, and you felt it deep and strong in your heart, but you just couldn't find the words for it? Well, in case you haven't noticed, we'll be taking about a one-month break from our series in 1 Peter, beginning in March, where we turn to 1 Peter and continue on. But as I was beginning to pray about and think about this week's message, the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, now is the moment where I'm going to give you a full biblical explanation of why Clayton Assembly of God is to be church for the rest of us. So if you have your Webster's Dictionary, don't look at me like that. Because the first thing we're going to look at is I want to give you three definitions of the word rest. And then we're going to tie them in biblically as to what they mean for this church. If you go to the next one. The word rest, the first definition is a verb. A verb is an action word. A verb is something you do. You can't very well do most verbs sitting around doing nothing. And rest as a verb means to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. How many of you, are like me? One of the most difficult things for you to do is to really, truly rest. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'll be very honest with you. There was 2 days out of this last week, this cold that I had, and I'm guessing it was a cold and not the flu. In all honesty, it kicked my behind. I mean, I thought, you know what? I'll sleep it off tonight. I'll get up tomorrow. I'll pop a couple of DayQuil tablets, and I'll be okay. And I'm just going to do everything I normally do. And I got up, and I started out to do that. And the truth is, it didn't go that way. It put me out flat on my back. I got up, and I do a little bit. I think, I'm feeling better. I'm going to do it. And it went, it just kicked me again. Wednesday rolled around. And I'll tell you, I struggled all day Wednesday about what to do about Bible study. I don't like canceling a service because I'm sick. I have, on more than one occasion in 25 years, I have gotten behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning with a fever, with nausea, with other problems, and just said, Lord, help me make it through this next few minutes without anything going wrong. I don't like to cancel, but by Wednesday afternoon, it was evident to me my body was not recovered well enough to do though. I needed this kind of rest. I needed to cease my work and my movement in order to relax, refresh myself, and recover my strength. Talk about it more in a few minutes. I have rest down as two, there's two definitions of a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. The first definition of it as a noun is an instance or a period of relaxing or ceasing to engage in strenuous or stressful activity. When you find yourself grabbing a hold of that definition of rest, what you're doing is the first definition. Can I tell you, a lot of us are really bad about entering into a place or a time of rest, and a lot of us are not very good at resting, the verb. Oh, we sit down and we don't do anything, but I will tell you, there's a lot of times when I sit down to rest, I don't do a lot of resting because I start to feel guilty for sitting there doing nothing. Can I tell you, the devil has found out that he can get us in more trouble by making us feel guilty about resting than most anything else. And finally, the third definition that we'll look at this morning, it's also a noun. It is something that remains over. If I were to, I grab these crayons that are sitting here, I can say, I have 7 of the crayons in my hand, and the rest are still in the box. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So I want to give you, and I want you to walk through this with me. And I, some of you I know take notes all the time. If you're not a note taker, I'd like to encourage you this morning to maybe consider doing so, because I'm going to tell you, I believe that this becomes a watershed moment where we truly grasp a hold of what it means to be church for the rest of us, and we walk outside the four walls of this building and we begin to proclaim this. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that in the near future we can do something to get some little signs or little window decals or something where we begin to promote this out there, that we are church for the rest of us, and we begin to touch lives. Not because it's a catchy slogan, but because it becomes who we really are as a church body. We live in a world today where many people do not know what it means to have rest. So let's go to the first passage of Scripture this morning. The first one is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and it is the verb definition we're going to look at. And it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, say it with me, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he, say it with me, rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, number one, let me just put this out there for you. Can I tell you something? God did not rest because he was tired, because God is omnipotent. He has all power and he does not get tired. Well, then why in the world would the omnipotent, all-powerful God put it in his book to us and tell us that on the seventh day he rested? He was setting in an example for us. I don't care who you are. I don't care how superhuman you think you are. You cannot work constantly and expect your body to hold up. You cannot work constantly and expect your mind to hold up. I will tell you, there are times that I have actually been more brain tired than I've ever been physically tired. God did not create us to be constantly on the go and work, 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 work. And there are those out there that want to think that the more I work, the more godly, the more spiritual I am. Can I tell you that when you refuse to follow the example God gave us in the creation story and you refuse to rest, what you're really doing is saying, God didn't know what he was talking about. I know myself better than he does. How many of you ever worked around big equipment? Factory type equipment even. Did you know it has been proven that machinery will last exponentially longer if it is shut down 1 out of every 7 days? Your body will work and function better and your health will stay better if you will learn how to rest. My wife and I are finding this out, that as we get a little older, we can't push like we used to. And I will be honest with you, in my mid-20s, I pushed hard. I was on part-time staff at a church, and I worked a full-time job. I wasn't married, so boy, I just go, 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 go. And one day, I love this. Dad wouldn't always say these things to me. Dad was like, You're over 21, you're an adult now, you're a man, so I'm not going to always interrupt, butt in and tell you everything that I'm thinking. But he would tell mom, because how many of you know what moms will usually do? Moms will get on the phone and tell you, you know what your dad said the other day? And that's what happened. And one day mom says, you know, your dad said the other day that you need to slow down. You cannot keep burning the candle at both ends. How many of you know that expression? How many of you live that expression sometimes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my response to mom was, oh, tell dad to quit worrying. I'm young. Well, you know what? I was right for a little while, but then I reached that point in life quite a few years ago where I've discovered that, you know what? I cannot burn the candle at both ends. I cannot constantly keep going. My dear lovely wife, I'm going to tattle on her. She was totally out yesterday in bed all day because of one of her, this go-around with this dizziness came up again. And I've come to the conclusion, I guess I'll call it maybe a word of knowledge from the Lord and husband's intuition, if that's such a thing. It happened, the two times that's happened now in less than a year is times when she pushed so hard with her job and she didn't get adequate rest. See, your pastor is one that when I don't rest properly, my body shuts me down by putting me into one of my headaches. And basically my body says, you're going to rest whether you want to or not. Because I can't function when I get those. Well, my wife, her body's decided when you push so hard, and this last week she worked 4 long shifts out of her job, and none of them, she didn't get off on time any of those 4 nights. She ran late every one of them. Her body apparently says, when you push me that hard, I'm going to make you dizzy and nauseous because I know you'll have to lay down and let me rest. Folks, if we're going to reach the world out there around us that are not yet serving God, one of the keys is that we, first of all, we must follow God's example and learn how to rest when it is called for so that we can be an example to people out there. Because a lot of them out there, their problem is that they are running rapidly to and fro here and there all the time and they don't find rest for their bodies. Now, let me show you how important this was to God. We go to the next one here, and it's in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And here we're looking at the definition of our noun, part one. And this is in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Notice they're not the suggestions, they're the commandments. God says through Moses here in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I want you to catch that. We always think we're so busy that we just can't afford to not give up a day. But God says, in 6 days shall you do all your work. Look at your neighbor and say, God says we can do it in 6. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, see, we want to make our excuses and we'll say, Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. Well, this isn't your pastor telling you this. God says, in 6 days shall you do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall keep it holy. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 10, your God, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now I want to give you a 21st century explanation of this. First of all, I've seen it just in the last 2 or 3 days on social media. I've seen pastors debating when is the Sabbath. Technically, the word Sabbath simply means rest. For the Jew who is still trying to be an Orthodox Jew and follow the law of Moses, the Sabbath begins on Friday at sundown and goes until Saturday on sundown. Saturday is still the technical, legal Sabbath. We as Christians, followers of Christ, we have decided that we're going to select Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and that becomes our day of worship and rest. And if you want to call it the Sabbath, you can call it the Sabbath. I don't care. But here's the concept that God was trying to get across to them in this commandment. We need to honor God by setting aside 1 day out of the week in which we rest and allow our bodies to recover and regain strength, and we allow our hearts and minds to focus on God. Amen. Now, let me just throw this little thing in there, though. Since we are on this side of the cross, and since we are living under grace, can I just tell you that our minds ought to be focused on God every day? Amen. When Dale gets behind the steering wheel of that 18-wheeler, he needs to be doing it as unto the Lord. When Connie comes over here and pulls out the dust rag and the vacuum cleaner to clean this building that we meet in, she needs to do it as unto the Lord. When my wife walks into that prison to begin handing out those medications to those inmates, even the honoring ones, she needs to do it as unto the Lord. When Joyce goes to the bank and steps over to that drive-through window and goes to wait on that customer to take their deposit or to help them with their withdrawal, she needs to be doing it as unto the Lord. When Christopher and Barbara walk into Clayton High School as the juniors they are, and they walk into the class with that most difficult teacher to deal with, they still need to do it as unto the Lord each and every day. Amen. But we still need to understand there is a natural law in place put there by God that we need to take downtime every week so that the body and the mind and the soul and the spirit can recover and find rest. See, some people say, well, we're not under the Ten Commandments anymore. You know, last time I looked at the Ten Commandments, there's not a one of those that I think a Christian should ignore. Now, we may not pick Saturday as our Sabbath day of rest, but we need a day of rest. See, can I tell you the truth? Some people say, well, Sunday's my day of rest. Well, that's good for you, but I'm a pastor, so guess what? I have to work on Sundays. And contrary to what some people say, Tommy, I do work more than 1 day a week. At least 2 days, okay? But I need downtime. And I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it is difficult for me to take downtime and recover. The 2 days I was so sick this week, I didn't get much done. Mike, I felt guilty being sick. Shame on me. I hadn't taken as good a care of myself as I should, and therefore I let my body's immune system get weak, and therefore the sickness came in, and I needed to let my body rest and recover.
Okay? I'm going to tie this all together about why we're church for the rest of us in just a few minutes. Let me just interject this right here. We have people out there around us that they are sick physically and spiritually, and they're not going to get over it until they learn how to rest, and it's up to us to teach them by our example. Let's go to the next. Exodus chapter 33:14. This is really a verb and noun one combo. Exodus 33:14, God speaks and it says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you. Now, this is something interesting I found. We look at that and say, well, look at that. God's going to give us rest, the noun. He's going to give us rest when his presence is in our life. But in the Hebrew, that phrase, will give you rest, is actually one word in the Hebrew, and it's a verb. It's an action of God. Do you really want rest for your body and rest for your soul today? Make sure that you don't allow yourself to slip away from the presence of God. Do you realize that God will never remove his presence from you, but it is possible for us through our choices each day to remove ourselves from his presence and try to do it our way? And can I just tell you that when you are away from the presence of God, you will find no rest for your body, mind, or soul? You want this rest that God wants to give you? You want this rest that God commands you to have in your life? Then make sure that his presence goes with you everywhere you go. Some of you need to start getting up in the morning and getting ready for work or school. And before you walk out the door, you need to open the door and you need to look over into the room and you need to say, Lord, come on. I'm headed to the job. I'm headed to school. Lord, go with me. Well, you say, Pastor, that's silly. If that's what it takes for you to get your mind focused on being in his presence, do whatever it takes. Can I tell you, I know the difference between doing the work of a pastor with his presence and without his presence. See, here's the dirty little secret that a lot of pastors don't want you to know. Some of us that have been doing this a long time, we know how to get up here and academically, intellectually, we can conduct a church service. We can go through all the motions and even have you pat us on the back and say, well, that was a good sermon, Pastor. But it wears us out. But when we do it with his presence and with his anointing, there is still a certain amount of tiredness, but it's a different kind of tiredness. Have you ever experienced that tiredness where you were tired and yet you felt his rest at the same time? Can I tell you, every person sitting here today, every person listening to this message today, you need to make sure that everywhere you go, you invite the presence of God to go with you. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to be the paraclete, the one that walks alongside of you. And then no matter what you're doing, no matter how tiring it may be, you will still have his rest to dwell in. Let's go to the next one, please. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And we actually read this in Sunday school this morning. Jesus speaks and he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But check this out. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think that's key. Rest for your souls. How many of you growing up ever went to church youth camp? How many of you know they can just flat out wear you out? Thing is, I went to church youth camps at our old youth camp here in New Mexico in Mountain Air from the time I was about 7 years old. I went to my first preteen camp. I went to youth camp till I was 18. when I was 19, I went back that year and started as a counselor and went as a counselor for several more years. And I tell you what, boy, I mean, they get you up early and you got to clean the dorm and then you go to breakfast and then you go to class and then you go to this activity and that activity. And then all afternoon, it's softball and volleyball and basketball. And then you go and you get showered and cleaned up and you go to supper and you have lunch in the middle there and all of that stuff. And then you go to the service at night. And I tell you what, I was one when I did that, I went full tilt. We know where our oldest son gets it from. I only had one speed, and that was full steam ahead. You know, and I was a lot younger back then, and I wasn't quite as fat as I am now. And to tell you the truth, there would be times I would take that shower, and I'd get through a supper, you know, a hot shower and a full tummy. Boy, that really does some of us in sometimes, doesn't it? And I'd just be sitting there on my bunk in the dorm room, and I'd be like, man, I don't want to go to service tonight. I am just so tired. But unless you were really, really sick, it was not optional. You had to be in chapel service that night. And so I would go over there to the tabernacle, and I'd go in, I'd find a place to sit with my buddies. And they would be worshipped, and there would be the message from the speaker, whatever it was. And then there would come the altar times. If you have never had the opportunity to see 200 to 400 teenagers gather around altars at a camp, and the power and the presence of God fall. There were times that I so enjoyed praying for others, but there's other times I would go find a spot off to the side and I would just pull up a chair or sit on a bench or something to the side, and I'd just sit down there and I would just watch as you could just see God moving across that place and as people's lives were changed. And what I discovered there was I began to have rest for my soul. My spirit man began to rest. And I would walk out of there after the chapel service, after the tabernacle service that evening. And while my body was still tired to a point, I didn't feel nearly as exhausted. You know, 30 minutes in the presence of God, giving rest to your soul, is sometimes as good or better than 8 hours of sleep in the most comfortable bed. Can I tell you that if you've been going through a time in your life right now where you're always feeling run down and tired, and it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, it's not helping, maybe it's time that you do what Jesus says here, that you come to Him and you take His yoke upon you and you learn from Him and you allow Him to be that gentle, humble one and you find rest for your soul. Maybe it's not your body that's so worn out. Maybe it's your soul and spirit. And maybe that's because you've been yoking yourself to the wrong people. Maybe you've been yoking yourself to the wrong situations. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you've kicked everyone else out of the yoke, including God, and you're trying to pull it yourself. And spiritually, you're done in. Come to me, says Jesus. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This last passage, I'm going to read the whole thing, but we're only going to focus in on two or three places. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. And this one is a rather awkward, difficult passage of scripture, the way it was written by the writer to the Hebrews. But I want to pull out certain little nuggets there. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Let me interject this. Can I tell you there's a lot of people in our community and surrounding area they're very quick to put on social media that they need prayer. They're very quick to put on social media that they'll pray for you. But the truth is, they're not living the life of rest that one should find in Christ because they're not living in faith. And when you live in faith, you live in obedience to His word. Verse 3, now we who have believed enter that rest. I want you to draw down with me to verse 6. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath, a rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. The writer of the Hebrews is talking about many who in the past, God gave them the opportunity to enter into his rest, but they were disobedient. They tried to do it their way and they missed out on his rest. But what he's really talking about when we dig deeper is this. Number one, yes, there's the right slide. Number one, it's talking about the eternal rest of heaven that Christ has promised us. Do you realize that this life is always going to be full of obstacles and turmoil and tiredness, but there is coming a point where we will have an eternal rest to enter into? How many of you are looking forward to that eternal rest? Oh, my goodness. No dizziness, no headaches. No, Connie, your eyes will see perfectly without glasses or any treatment. No colds, no flus, no limping around, no arthritis, none of those things. So there is an eternal rest that we look forward to, and Christ has promised it to us. But only those who have believed, who have accepted, and have based their lives on that saving message of Jesus Christ can enter into God's spiritual rest. Did you catch that? It's not one of those things, it's all of those things. It's not enough to say, I believe. Because guess what? Satan believes every word that comes out of God's mouth and every word that's in the Bible. Satan and the demons believe it. But they haven't accepted it. You have to believe. You have to accept. When you accept, you say, you know what? I'm going to stop doing it my way. I'm going to stop making up excuses. Excuse me. And I'm going to start doing it God's way. We believe it, we accept it, and we base our lives on the saving message of Jesus Christ. What is the foundation your life is built on right now? What is that one thing that every decision you make is based upon? If it's not upon the saving message of Jesus Christ, then you're making bad choices. Want me to repeat that one? When you make choices based upon anything else than the saving message of Jesus Christ, you're making bad choices. When you choose a job and it's not based upon a solid foundation, can I work this job and give glory to Christ who saved me? If you can't do that, it's the wrong job. When you choose that person you want to spend the rest of your life with, if you've got to compromise anything of your salvation, that's not the person you need to spend your life with. Every decision, everything in life, we need to believe, accept, and base it on the saving message of Jesus Christ. And that Sabbath rest that we have been promised, is both an earthly rest of peace with God and an eternal rest in heaven. We can experience in small earthly doses little parts of that eternal rest that we're looking forward to in heaven in the here and now. He will give it to us when we will put his yoke upon us, when we will walk with him. Now, what does that have to do with us being Clayton Assembly of God Church for the rest of us? Please go to the last slide. To the next slide. We have a great message to share of God's great rest, both as a place and as an activity. But what about that second noun definition? The one that says it's what's left over. It's the something that remains. Go with me to Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 24. But Jesus said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. Doesn't that sound just like our world today? Every Sunday, God prepares in every church, as long as the pastor or teacher is listening to what the Lord says, God has prepared for us today a great spiritual banquet to feed our souls. And we put the call out there, come and dine. The master calls, come and dine. We sang that song this morning. At Clayton Assembly of God, come and dine on what God has for his children at 10:30 every Sunday morning. And I'm grateful for every one of you that are here. And I'm grateful for every one of you that are watching on social media today. But there are many out there that should be here today. But they did just like these people. They began to make excuses. Now, those that legitimately have to work or that are legitimately sick or legitimately out of town, that's fine. But there are many, they begin to make excuses. Do you mind if I talk like a youth pastor for a moment? I was a youth pastor for 14 years. So what I'm about to say is going to sound a little crude to some of you, but this is what I used to tell the teenagers. Excuses are like armpits. Everyone has a couple, and they usually stink. And I've heard so many of them. Well, I would go to church, but there's hypocrites there. Well, come on, one more is not going to make that much difference. Well, I would go to church, but the pastor's wife didn't say hi to me last week. Well, my goodness, forgive her. Tell me about it, and I'll take her home and beat her with a wet piece of spaghetti. Well, I would go to church, but they expect too much out of me. No, I don't expect anything out of you. Everything I tell you to do comes from the Word of God. Yeah. The roof will fall in if I walk in there. No, it won't. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Talk about a fool. I wouldn't buy land sight unseen. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to go try them out. Please consider me excused. Sister Georgia, I got a simple question for you. Did you test drive that truck before you bought it? Yes. I thought so. Verse 20, boy, I love this one. Dale, you can't get away with this one in a few months, whenever it happens. Another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. I don't know what that excuse has to do with anything. And the slave came back and reported this to the master. Then the head of the household became angry, and he said to his slave, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room in the banquet hall. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. What is he saying to do? He says, look, I want you to go out there. The pretty people that I invited are making excuses and not showing up. So guess what? I'm not going to cancel my banquet. We're not going to close the doors of this church. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to find. Say it loud, Joyce. I want you to go find and bring in the rest of them. Friend, your job is not to go out and invite all the wealthy, pretty people of the community. Yes, if they want to come in, we'll welcome them, you bet. But I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why the churches in this area are as empty as they are, and I'll be honest with you, there's not a single church in this community that is as full as they should be. I've been talking to some of my fellow pastors. I will tell you what, some of us sit around and we say, well, that church over there's got this many people. I got news for you. No, they don't. It's time that we say, Lord, open my eyes and open my heart. And when I'm out there, you help me to start reaching out to the rest of the people. The ones that everyone else is ignoring. The ones that everyone else is forgetting about. The ones that think that they don't fit into church. I've had people say, well, I go to church, but I don't have anything to wear that's churchy. I keep telling people, we have a very strict dress code at this church. You have to be. You have to be dressed. You walk in here undressed, we might have a problem. But walk in here dressed. You know, I can tell you how some of you men could make me faint. If all of you men got together on one Sunday and all walked in here in suits and ties, you'd make me faint. I think you'd shown up for your own funeral or something. Or mine. Yeah. You know what? If you feel like wearing a suit and tie, wear a suit and tie. I felt like wearing a jacket today, but no tie. My neck didn't feel like a tie around it. You know what? I don't care what you wear as long as it's decent and modest, as long as you're here. Yeah, you got on a Clayton t-shirt. Cool. No problem. You got on your jeans and boots. Great. No problem. In the summertime, some of you have even shown up and you've worn your decent shorts. Now, not your little short shorts. You can keep those at home. But your shorts. You know what? I don't have a problem with that. Because it's not about impressing one another with how we dress. It's not about impressing one another with what we own. It's about coming to Father's table and sitting down and partaking of what he's prepared for us and finding rest for our bodies and our minds and our souls. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 kind of sums this up for us in this context. Paul says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the key. Such were some of you. You see, the problem is you go out and you start to bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those that are out on the highways and the hedges, on the fringes of life. They're not the pretty people. They're going to walk in here and they're going to be dirty and they're going to be smelly and they're going to be crude and they're going to be rude and they're not going to know all the rules. And we've got to ask ourselves the question, do we really want those kinds of people in here? There's some of you sitting there and it's running through the back of your mind, well, I'm not really sure. Paul says, And he gives this whole list of the kinds of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So when you start thinking about, do we really want the rest of them coming in here? The answer ought to be a resounding yes, because such were some of us until we were washed in the blood, until we were sanctified, set apart from sin, and set apart unto a life in Christ, until we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Yes, it is time. Clayton Assembly of God is church for the rest of us. Church for the rest of us? Yes. God is calling us to be a place of rest for the soul in the here and now. When people walk in this building, when they come into our gathering of the family, we want them to realize they are in a place where they can find rest for their souls. No, we're not going to go easy on sin. We're not going to walk over to people and say, gee, that's okay. You just keep doing your pet sins and it's okay. No, no, that's not giving them rest for their soul. We're going to be honest with them. What you're doing is wrong and it's sin and it's separating you from God. And if you want rest for your soul, you repent. Amen? Amen. So we want to be known as a place where people find rest for their souls. Not tolerance for their sin, but a way to get out of the sin. A way to turn around and repent and head a different direction. Of course, that's going to mean that all of us need to make sure that when we're out there, that we're living what we claim to be living when we're in here. Church for the rest of us? Yes. Simply a place to rest from everyday life. We had a lady in our last church. Oh my goodness. Do you realize that? March, we will have been here as pastors for 13 years. I don't even know if this dear lady is still alive. She was a dear lady. Let me tell you the house she lived in. It was a nice, neat little house. It had been a duplex, and they had torn the walls down. But in this one dwelling place were her and her husband and her husband's parents and at least one of her adult kids and their families all living in this one little house that had been a duplex. And even by tearing the wall down, it wasn't that big. There was just a whole lot of people in a very little space, and it was always noisy. Can any of you relate? And this dear lady, she would come to church by herself. None of her kids wanted to come. Her husband didn't come. Her in-laws, I think they went to the Catholic church. And Tommy, I tell you what, we had pews in that church, but she'd come in and she'd sit about two-thirds of the way back. And she usually sat right here in the middle aisle. She always sat. And I just come to know that it was nothing personal. I knew that before the service was over, this was going to be her. And I was assured it was not my preaching. Don't look at me like that. You see, the reality of it was, in that two-hour span of service time on Sunday mornings in that church building with her church family, that literally was the only time out of her entire existence during the week that she could find enough peace and quiet and calmness to rest. Now, she made enough comments. I knew that sermons were getting through even while she was kind of half dozing part of the time and sleeping. But that was the only place. Folks, when people walk in here, they need to feel such a presence of God that they immediately recognize it as a place of rest. Now, let me tell you how that happens. You and I need to be in such prayer and proximity to God throughout the week, that as each one of us walks in here, we bring a little more of his presence with us. So the presence level of God rises and rises and rises right up to the ceiling. So when others walk in, they can partake of that and find rest for their souls. Amen. There's going to be times when every one of us will walk in here with problems and frustrations and things in our life that's got us burned down. And we're going to walk in, and it's going to have been one of those weeks for us, and we might be the one that needs to drink in that restfulness that we bring in. But our task is to walk with him daily. So when we come together, we all add to the overall restfulness of this place. We take what he's given us and we combine it so when others walk in with needs, they feel it. One of the greatest compliments I've had is the people that have come through this church and visited and have said, you know what, this is a friendly place. You know what, the only thing I think that would be better is that they said, you know what, I found it so peaceful and restful when I walked into your church building. Church for the rest of us? Yes, we are to be a place for those who feel like that they are out on the highways, byways, and the hedges and fringes of life. I don't ever want to hear anyone out there say, I wanted to go to Clayton Assembly of God, but I was so afraid they wouldn't accept me because of who I am. And those that have been here a long time, back in history, I'm not saying this church was ever like that. I'm just telling you what God is calling us to right now. It needs to become our trademark, if you will, that we are a loving, caring place where people can find rest and they are accepted no matter what. Amen. But we cannot be that people until we allow God to give us his rest to us as individuals. Amen. And accept it. So I want to close today. Let me ask you. How many of you say, Pastor, I've known for a long time that I need that kind of rest, but I've been reluctant to accept it and live in it. And now I'm tired. And I want to begin living in that rest today. I want to make sure every day I'm yoked together with him, with Christ, so that I get that rest because his yoke is easy and his burden's light. If you want that rest today, would you stand right where you're at? Can you just take hands and just form a big chain right around this place? I want you to pray for three things. I want you to, first of all, pray and say, Lord, forgive me for not accepting the rest you've made available. And ask him to give it to you today and every day. And then I want you to pray for the person on your right and the person on your left that God will bless them with his rest starting right now. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word and we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your rest. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have refused to accept your rest for our bodies, for our minds, for our souls. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have ignored your law of the Sabbath, of a day of rest to let our bodies and minds and souls recover. Lord God, today we ask, though, that you would give us that rest. Give us the rest in this physical realm. Give us rest in the spiritual realm. And Lord God, I pray then that we will become known truly as the place that is church for the rest of us. In every definition that word has. Lord God, may we begin. attract people who are living on the fringes of life, who feel like they are left out, that they have no place to fit in. God, may they find a place to fit in here, not because of who we are specifically, but because we're going to be your people doing things your way. We're going to love them, and we're going to look at God. And we ask this now in your wonderful name. And may we walk out of here rested. May we find a place of rest each day in you. And may we share that with others. In Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Love somebody. Members, let's meet up here.